This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I wanted to take your pulse on this. President Trump's ordered the government to stop making pennies. It cost him 4 cents to make every penny, which seems kind of crazy. We had a guy back in 2016, an economist, that made an argument to do away with the penny, and it seems like it makes every sense to do away with it. But at that time when we talked about it, people went ballistic saying, no, don't you dare do away with the penny. That's crazy. But I want to see how you feel about it. Now that President Trump said do away with it, do you agree with it? Do you want to see the penny go away or not? I don't even bother to get them when it's changed. It's like, don't worry about it. Just round it off to the quarter. That's good for me. But what do? Do you keep pennies? Do you want to see the penny disappear or not? Text me at 504-260-1870. We'll try to have the guy on that was on in 2016 with us back again sometime this week. When we come back, we'll talk to Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec, about security on the internet. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870 as you're sharing your thoughts about the penny. And we'll talk about the best way to secure accounts when we return on WWL. 8:15 now on this Tuesday morning, February the 11th, and I'm asking you to text me at 504-260-1870 and let me know what you think about the penny. The president said stop making them, and it costs almost a nickel to make every penny. And I don't even fool with them when it comes to the change. Do you care about taking the pennies or not? Or what do you want to do? And so far, people are saying, yeah, get rid of them. And the reason I think it's interesting is that we had a guy, Whalen is his name, an economist, on back in 2016 talking about getting rid of pennies. And at that time, people were, man, they lit me up about don't you dare get rid of the penny, blah, 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 blah. So I just want to see how you feel now. Do you want to get rid of the penny or not? Meanwhile, Alex Hammerstone joins us, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec, to talk about internet security and scams, and specifically passwords and pass keys. How's everything in Cleveland, Alex?
Things are great in Cleveland, I hear, although I'm in L.A. this morning.
How are you?
Heading to the airport pretty soon. But yeah, I'm out in L.A. enjoying the weather. So,
Did you watch Super Bowl?
I did. It was an interesting game for sure.
Well, especially if you bet the over. Let's talk about your impressions of the city, just curiously, watching it from across the country. What did you think of New Orleans and the presentation and so forth?
So I think New Orleans is an absolutely incredible city, right? I mean, it's one of the most unique cities on earth. And I think, I think it came out great. I think that the tribute at the beginning, really showcased, New Orleans well, and then was great. And I think that it's just such a great city. It's so unique, and the people are so friendly that, and I'm just really glad that, you guys were able to have the Super Bowl.
All right, let's talk about pass keys and passwords when it comes to internet security. Our company changed something, I think, where I think now I can have a pass key instead of a password, and I'm not quite sure. What's the difference? Take me through it.
Sure, absolutely. So I think there are kind of three parts of the conversation, right? There are passwords, there's passphrases, and then passkeys. And passphrases are just kind of a type of password. But passwords have really been around forever, right? So, you know, back in the old days, even thousands of years ago, right, you might knock a certain way to be let in or have a certain thing you would say to be allowed in. And so that kind of transferred to, you know, online, the online world. And we, you know, had passwords we also remember, and it's confusing and they get stolen and intercepted and people reuse them. And there's a lot of issues with passwords, right? And it, they've just been trouble over time. Pass keys are a little bit different. A lot of people that are listening probably do use them, even if they're not kind of familiar with how they work. Mm-hmm. But what it is, instead of you having a password that you enter onto a site, you know, there's a piece of information, you know, called a key that's on your device, so your phone or your computer. And then there's a piece of information that's at the website or at the service you're trying to access. And those two have to match. And it's your device doing the communication rather than you typing it in. So if you, you know, use your bank account or some kind of account and it has the login with Face ID, that's what's happening there. It's allowing your device to send your part of that passkey to the site or service. And then they agree that they're both sending the right thing and you're right in.
So this is generated from some kind of code in the device, in the computer itself? I'm trying to understand, Alex. Hold my hand here.
That's correct. It's generated, you know, part of it on your computer or part of it on your phone, and then part of it on the actual service that you're trying to access. And there's what's called public and private keys. And, you know, key management and encryption are one of the most complicated things to kind of get to and kind of to understand. And once they click, they make sense. But we could probably spend a week kind of, you know, teaching how all that works. But I think the easy way to understand it is that there's something being generated on your device and something being generated on that site. And when those two things match, you can access that site.
Generated each time differently?
So it's generally going to be one key that you have, right? So it's think of it, I guess maybe the easy way to think of it is there's a certain password, and I'm oversimplifying it for anyone that's kind of listening and wants to make fun of me a little bit, but there's a password that's generated on your phone that only your phone knows. And your phone tells it to that, you know, that service that you're trying to access. And that service also has kind of part of that password. And those two have to match. And what it means is that without your device, somebody can't log into that service. They'd have to, you know, physically have your device and log into it and, you know, use whatever kind of way you log into your phone, whether it's your face, your fingerprint, or what have you.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. It would seem to me, and again, in the depths of my ignorance, that that could be easily cloned or hacked somehow, a passkey, but apparently not, maybe not. I don't know. We'll find out when we talk to Alex Hammerstone when we return, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. We'll also take a look at the latest scams going around. If you have any questions or comments, please 504-260-1870 about internet security, passwords, passkeys, texts, etc. I'll be glad to entertain them because there's always somebody out there trying to scam us. Traffic now, WWL. 826, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Scrim, the infamous New Orleans dog that's been on a loose, apparently has been reunited with his owner at Metairie Small Animal Hospital. So those of you that are on Scrim Watch, you can be aware of that. Alex Hammerstone, our guest, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec, talking about pass keys and passwords. So, Alex, somebody texted in. Is that the same as when they give you a 6-number code to enter, or do you do this actively, or is it passively done?
Nope. So the 6-digit code is different. So that's what's called multi-factor authentication, which is looking for a way for you to not just know your password, but also have something else, which is, in that case, that code. The passkey really is transparent to the user. As I said, the keys are created, you know, on your device and on the actual site, you know, using strong cryptography. You never even know the password, right? You never even know what it is, so it can't be phished or stolen, and it's unique to that relationship, right? So it's the one that you use for your bank is going to be different than the one you use for everything else. But the multi-factor and those texts, that's a kind of a different thing.
So you want a passkey and the second, what do you call it, two-factor authentication? Well, how you call it? What are you saying?
So the passkey is technically, you know, providing that two-factor because you have that device in your hand. So when you look at multi-factor authentication, it's the idea is it's you have more than one thing to log into the site, right? Mm-hmm. So it can be something that you are, which is kind of your eyes, your fingerprint, something that you know, which would be your password, and then something that you have, which is your device, right? And so it's looking for more than one of those three factors. And so the passkey is on your device, and then the assumption is that you have that device. So technically, it's looking to be two of those factors. So it is replacing the multi-factor. Although, again, if you're using your passkey to log in your bank account, it's going to ask you to, you know, use your Face ID or something like that.
You know, we had the Super Bowl here, and they had facial recognition to get your Super Bowl credential and so forth, and it seemed to work flawlessly. Is there any way that could be done over the internet, or is it being done now over the internet?
So it is in some ways, right? So there's certain accounts when you log into, like if you go to set up certain accounts at, you know, crypto trading sites, they may, you know, take a picture of you and you know, use that for some recognition. You know, it's certainly, I think in the future, we'll see a lot more of that, but that facial recognition is really wild. And there was a story a few years ago, it was actually out of China, where China caught someone, it was a wanted terrorist, who was at an event with like 100,000 people, and they were photographing every single person that kind of came into the stadium and caught the person that way. So I think people need to keep in mind that every single time you leave the house, you know, you're being photographed constantly, you're on video constantly. And of course, with facial recognition, think about the implications of that.
So when it comes to security, though, with facial recognition, is that the only thing that is foolproof?
Well, we always just say foolproof for now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've all kind of seen the movies where they create a mask or something like that. But generally, you know, facial recognition is pretty strong. You know, it's one of those things with security is nothing is 100% effective. But, you know,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No reason not to use it. And so some things are just more effective than others. You know, and right now, facial recognition is going to be more secure in just about every case than just using a password.
Somebody texted in, can AI defeat facial recognition?
So that's probably a whole conversation about kind of what AI is and isn't, right? Because I think, you know, AI is kind of at this point can mean multiple things. But certainly, you know, if you have a lot of computing power and are kind of using, you know, AI in conjunction with that, it can be used to defeat a lot of different security protocols in several different ways. It would probably take a while to kind of go into the different ways that could work. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you have to remember that everything on a computer is really stored as zeros and ones. And so at that point, you know, theoretically, there should be a way to break any of it.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time as always. Always some out there. Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member, about the Super Bowl. It's over, but what about homelessness and what's that going to look like in the city? It is 8:30. Time now, WWL First News. I asked for your text about the penny, and somebody texted in, and it reminded me. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by an economist Dr. Waples from Wake Forest, who wrote about the penny and doing away with it back in 2013. And he was on with us then. That was a long time ago. But actually, this is President Obama's idea to do away with the penny. Somebody texted in and reminded me of this, and people were overwhelmingly against it. I don't know if things have changed economically since then or now because President Trump says do away with it, that people are for it. But I think it is one of those moments where you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, wait a minute. Now, am I really being objective here or am I looking at it through my political prism? Because when Obama wanted to do it, everybody was against it. Trump wants to do it now. A lot of people are for it. Maybe times have changed economically. I don't know. I do remember when we had Professor Waples on a long time ago, it cost about 4 cents to make a penny. And we said, well, that's pretty dumb. So what do? You want to get rid of the penny or not? He's going to join us tomorrow morning at 6:45. We come back, we'll talk to Leslie Harris, New Orleans City Council member, about the homeless situation in the city now that the Super Bowl's over. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I told you back at 8:25 that Scrim, the runaway dog, has been, I don't hate to say captured, that's kind of pejorative, has been returned, or at least returned to his rightful owner. His owner has been reunited with his owner, let's put it that way. And I was asking you about the penny, and some of y'all are saying making change for cash transactions will be a challenge without the penny. Somebody else says, so what do I do with all these pennies in this big Kentwood water jug, and how would that work? Would everything be rounded up to the nickel? Well, that's what that economist is going to talk to us about tomorrow, because he was talking about this 10 years ago, and it can cause some problems. I know back then when we brought it up, people were very, very against it. They said absolutely not. So we'll see what the economist has to say. We'll see what you think tomorrow as we talk more about that. Leslie Harris joins us now, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Council Member Harris?
I'm great, and I'm glad to see Scrim is reunited, I think is the right term. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I would use, reunited, yeah. And the question now is, can you really keep Scrim with his owner? Can you? We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah. Tell me about your thoughts on the Super Bowl and the way everything happened in New Orleans and the handling of everything and so forth.
Yeah, I think it was a really great event. It was a safe Super Bowl. I took a walk down Bourbon Street and saw the purple carpet, which was interesting, set up by the Fox announcers. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there were any major incidents, and I saw a lot of law enforcement on the ground. So I think it was a great event. Everybody looked happy and celebratory, and I had a good time.
So let's talk about, did you go to the game?
I did not. No, I watched it with the puppies.
Yeah, how'd they enjoy it?
They loved it.
Good. Let's talk about the homeless situation in New Orleans and what happens now, because we had, of course, the governor got involved. The governor set up his, what do we call it, a transitional facility, I think he's calling it?
He's calling it the transition center, yes. And so the governor set it up, as you know, as a 2 to 3 month area for people who are experiencing homelessness. I have said repeatedly that I'm willing to work with the government, and the city is willing to work with the state on making sure that people are housed rapidly from that center. And I think that's the next step, is looking at how we can transition people from that center when it closes in 2 to 3 months.
What has been the result in that neighborhood? Do you know?
I know some anecdotal stories about people who have left the transition center ending up on people's porches. During the Super Bowl, when I was walking around, I did see people who were unhoused who had come back downtown. And so I think the neighbors in that neighborhood, and I've seen letters from them, would have liked more communication about the setting up of that center. I think we all would have, because I think we could have done it in a more collaborative, cheaper manner than how it's set up now.
We're on a little bit late. Let me pick it up here. We come back 8:50, talking to Councilmember Leslie Harris about the homeless situation in New Orleans and what happens from here. 8:50, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 8:55, 5 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Councilmember Leslie Harris. A tweet out from the Causeway Police saying that the Causeway northbound, currently right lane only, speed limit's been reduced to 45. No motorcycles are allowed on the bridge at this time. Expect delays, so I thought I'd pass that along. Leslie, when it comes to the governor's transitional facility or whatever they're referring to it as, I know you weren't consulted. Has it proven to be a positive for homeless people and the situation in New Orleans or not?
I think it's a wait and see situation. I can tell you that the proposal that we had presented to the governor's team before the transitional center opened was a proposal to house 375 individuals at a cost of about $21,000 per person. Mm-hmm. We know that in the 2 to 3 months that this transition center is open, the cost per housing 200 people or putting them in that transitional center is around $64,000. So we had a more less expensive but more sustainable plan in place that we presented to the governor's team. Again, I'm open to more conversation about how we implement that plan, and hopefully we can all sit down and just hammer it out. My concern, though, Tommy, is that what happens after the 2 to 3 months expires and the transitional center closes and the people who are there have no housing or other services?
When does that expire?
So the initial contract period was 2 months from, I think, January 11th. So we're looking at March, February, and then there was a three-month extension, so we would go into March.
So where'd that money come from?
The governor's money?
Yeah, they came from the...
We're unsure. There was a memo that we saw that the city of New Orleans might be charged for it. We certainly did not agree to that. And certainly we're not consulted about paying for this transitional center that was independently set up by the governor's people.
Yeah, you're a brilliant attorney, so you tell me. Can the city be on the hook for this if the governor set it up?
I don't think that we can be on the hook for something that was unilaterally set up without our consultation and our consent. I think, again, having sat at the table or being able to sit at the table with his team and talk through sustainable planning for our unhoused people, I think that's the way to go.
So with that in mind, sustainability, would this be something maybe, and again, you said wait and see, that you would like to see perhaps the state fund or the governor fund? And how much of an effect has it had, Leslie, on actually getting homeless people off the streets of New Orleans in general, or is it just in specific areas where, just to be honest about it, they don't want to be people to be seen? They don't want the homeless people to be seen.
Yeah, there were targeted places where people were taken from to put into the transitional center. The transitional center is just that. It's a temporary center. What we have in place in the city of New Orleans is to get people permanently housed with supportive services. That's the plan that works, and that's the plan that I would like to discuss with the governor. I don't think having this transitional center at a cost of $16 million per 3 months does anybody any good, does taxpayers any good, especially when there's no solid planning for what happens to the people when they leave the transitional center.
So to be clear, your plan is for those that are texting in?
The plan that we have put into place and implemented is to get people wraparound services with permanent supportive housing. So that means voucher in hand, getting them into apartments, making sure that they have caseworkers. And we've done that since the beginning of last year. We've housed around 800 people that way. Our point in time count is waiting to come out. That's a count that happens every year of the number of street homeless. But we believe that it's around 1,500 people as of last year. So 800 of those people were permanently housed through the City of New Orleans plan. There are about 170 people at the Governor's Transitional Center. And again, at a very high cost for operation with very little services that we've seen.
Thank you, Councilmember Leslie Harris. I appreciate your time as always. Good luck with the puppies.
I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
All right, you bet. Ever dream of riding in a carnival parade? Well, WWL's got your tickets to roll with the crew of Argus on Mardi Gras Day. You can ride high atop a float with everything you need, costumes and throws for two, all free. Go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win the ride of a lifetime, powered by Honda of Covington and Mercedes-Benz of Covington. Back in a flash, we'll talk with Ollie Cosell about those Pelicans on WWL.